Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Experience the history, beauty, culture, and tradition of the martial arts at the world's first Martial Arts History Museum. Located in the city of Burbank, California, visitors will enjoy learning how Asian history became part of American history. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com. Presented by the Martial Arts History Museum is our first celebrity charity seminar series. On February 24th, you will have the opportunity to work out with such great superstars as Bill Ryusaki, Art Camacho, Leo Fong, Adam James, and Michael Matsuda all in the same day. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venna. Today is the 22nd day of January, 2013. Our first shout-out tonight is going to go to Sidekick Talk Radio with Shihan Alan Woodman, the host, and his co-host, Reggie Timmy Presk, with MMA Corner. And their show airs every Wednesday at 12 noon and every Sunday at 6 p.m. for 2 hours each show. And to speak to the host, you can dial 347-237-4818. I'll give you that number again. It's 347-237-4818. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been working with Shihan Alan Woodman and Grandmaster Daryl Sargent to organize a get-together and seminar workshop. We're working actually very closely with one another to nail down a venue, get some sponsors, some vendors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to any of the listeners that may be able to lend a hand in recommending some vendors, recommending some sponsors, give me their name and contact information, and I'll get on the phone with them and, communicate. And spark some interest to see if we can get them set up at the event. What started out to be something that we totally believe in, and that is, you know, sharing the experience of our martial arts journey with everybody, has now evolved to a little bit of a different level. What we plan to do is not only make it a seminar and workshop for martial arts, but we also want to incorporate some other things. We've been working with Sensei Joe Estrada over in Australia, Madma Joe we call him. And, we also are looking for some coaches. So hopefully we can also set up, the information at our seminar for Sensei Joe Estrada to get his message out there. And again, it's a bunch of martial artists getting together and trying to tie a thread throughout all different martial arts communities around the globe and offer information, techniques, have some of the vendors, display their products and services. Obviously, embroidery is something that a lot of people want to have done now on their gis. So, we plan to have some of Sheehan's supporters that also provide valuable tools for all of us to use, especially when it comes to the way we dress, some of the apparel that we wear, some of the protective gear that we are required to wear nowadays. So, we're working together as martial artists, and what we're trying to do is plan our first event. Of course, once the first one goes down, you're going to learn a lot of things about organization. Sifu Allen Goldberg is also speaking to Sheehan Woodman about some of the pointers that you should try to accomplish. And thank you for that, Sifu, because you obviously have the experience based on the event that you do every year for all of us, which, as you know, using your own words, that grows and grows each year. And that just goes to show you that what you're doing is special to the martial arts community because you're getting everybody together. And I think that that's really, one of the key things that, drives us, and that is putting all of us together almost on what is now panning out to be in 2013 a regular thing, something that a lot of the black belts are trying to do, not only for their own dojos and systems and disciplines, but also for their senseis. In September, we have the Don Nagle tournament, coming up again. So we'll be giving that information, accordingly. Now, some of the pre-information has been listed already. But what we plan to do is also give that information as the time, becomes available. And what I mean by that, as we get closer to the month of September. So all through the summer and all through the fall, we'll be posting that information as well. But getting back to, giving a shout-out, we would like to give a shout-out to WorldwideDojo.com. That website is put together by Dana Stamos and her team. And I got to tell you, I keep saying it on the program that what she's doing for the community with that website is just, it's like magic, because you can go on there and get a lot of things that are current as well as the history of martial arts on that website. And again, if you're an active dojo and you're you want to get your message out there, it's a wonderful way for you to do that because it is such a valuable resource and tool for not only instructors and dojos and, students, but also for parents. Parents can actually go onto that website and read, some of the current events. Basically, every style that's, available is listed on the website. So if you're looking to take up a discipline and you want to find out information, it's a wonderful resource for that. So again, Dana Stamos has a website, actually two of them, worldwidedojo.com and usadojo.com. Now, the worldwide one is the evolution of usadojo.com because she was getting requests from people overseas as well. So take a look at the website, type in worldwidedojo.com, just like that, and if you do a Google search, it'll come right up. And that take a look at that website. It is really a professional website for all people to use, whether you're a student, an instructor, or a parent. And then our third shout-out now tonight goes to Sifu Alan Goldberg with Action Power Hour Radio Show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And to speak to the host, Sifu Alan Goldberg, you can dial 713-955-0323. Now, I do apologize if there are any technical difficulties with the audio tonight. Blog Talk Radio has announced to all of the hosts that they do recognize that there is a situation that has to be resolved. So, please, I apologize if, you know, the audio comes through broken up tonight or even if you're hearing me at all. I can't listen to the program and broadcast at the same time because you get a terrible echo. So, again, if there are any technical difficulties tonight, I do apologize. Now, let me take a look at, I was speaking to Andy Sloan today. He's serving in the Navy. He's stationed in South Korea. And he called me today. We were talking about the Devil Dog Award, and we were talking about, you know, some of Sensei's work in the martial arts community, and that is, you know, Ed McGrath School of Ishinryu has been a dojo that Sensei has been running for many, many years now. Over the years, one of the things that he expressed in his appreciation of others was he established what is called the Devil Dog Award here at McGrath School of Ishinryu. And last night was the first time we ever announced a Devil Dog Award winner on the air or even in a public way, such as an internet radio show. We've never done that before. The award is not, to seek recognition or to really be publicized in any way, shape, or form. That's not what the award is about. The award is about, serving the martial arts community and your own community in a very special way. Now, obviously, if you do a little bit of research about the United States Marine Corps having this designation that was given to them by their enemy, it says a lot about the character of the award. So last night was the first time we ever announced a Devil Dog Award winner on the air, which happens to be Shihan Alan Woodman. And, you know, he had said on the program last night, I'm not doing this to win awards. And, yes, that is 100% true. He doesn't do it for recognition. He does it for the love of the art and to be able to help others. And that's the core issue of why we look at a candidate, because it's exactly what the award means. It's exactly what the title Devil Dog means, that you would go above and beyond what is required of you to help others. Now, in battle, obviously, if you're wounded, one of their mottos is never to leave anyone behind. So that means that they would put their own life in harm's way to go back and save one of their brothers or sisters. So, you know, this is essential that, you know, the listeners understand the significance of just how proud Sensei is to be able to do this for certain individuals. In the history of the award, since we've been doing it, or at least as long as I've been involved, I mean, the Sensei's been doing this long before I was one of his students. But since I've been involved with it, since I've been involved in the process, whenever we pull names, you know, out of the community, everybody that we use, to gather that information, all deserving of the award. However, it's very difficult, to give everybody the award because we don't want it to be a saturated award. It is a very prestigious title that you get, you know, from my sensei, and that is when he appreciates, you know, some of the work that you're doing. That's one of the key characteristics that he looks for. Of course, your martial arts ability plays into it. Of course, the students that you are associated with have something to do with it, because their voice plays a big part in, you know, how they perceive you to be as an instructor. And, you know, some of the key characteristics that you display when you're on the deck. And not only on the deck, but off the deck as well. So, having said all of that, I'd like to direct everybody to Sensei's website, which is www.aokainc.com. Click onto the link, you know, for Devil Dogs, and take a look at what Sensei writes about, you know, what this award means to him. Now, obviously, I've mentioned it a million times on the program, Sensei was an officer in the United States Marine Corps, and one of the stories that he tells is in the dojo that was opened up here in North Carolina, when the fellas came back from overseas, I want to make sure I get it right. It's the, they had a name for it. It was actually, from what they've told me, one of the first Ishinru dojos here in the United States. And in that dojo were some of the finest products that Ishinru has ever produced. And one of those people that I want to mention is Sensei Rick Namira. Now, the reason why we single him out is because, number one, he was Don Nagel's first shodan. So out of all of the students that come from the Don Nagel lineage, Rick Namira is senior deshi because he then goes into the record books as the first shodan that Don Nagel ever made. So now Sensei tells the story about working out with these fellas, and his description of, by the way, Sensei Namira is also one of our Devil Dogs, and for obvious reasons. But the reason why we single out Sensei Namira is because he was what Sensei considered to be just one of the toughest fighters that Sensei ever had to face. Now, in that crowd, Sensei puts guys like Rick Namira, Ralph Bove, of course, Sensei Nagel, Lou Vizzot. In that group of individuals, you had a unique blend of athletic ability. Now, the reason why I say that is because Sensei, Ed McGrath, always described these men as phenomenal athletes. They just had this innate ability to be able to do whatever you asked them to do and do it well. And one of the things that Sensei always talked about was the ability of Sensei Namira, because it was one of the one students that, you know, not that Sensei, I don't want to use the word fear, because that's the wrong word. Not that Sensei feared him, but in trying to make you understand how important it was to be on your game when you fought with Sensei Namira, you make a wrong decision or a mistake, and Sensei Namira was able to capitalize on that better than others, or maybe not better than, but more efficiently than others. So, obviously, you know, growing up in the martial arts, any time you could get to be around Sensei Namira was always a thrill. And because Sensei Ed McGrath and Sensei Rick Namira were such good friends, there were a lot of exchanges, whether it be in the dojo or at Sensei's house. And whenever Sensei Namira would come to the house, there were always other guests that were also invited, also some of Sensei's best friends. And those sessions, you know, ring volumes in my head because I remember some of the talks that they would have after they were done, you know, doing what we call playing. They would all sit down then, have a beer, have a little something to eat, and they would start to exchange verbally. So not only did you get to see them in action, but then you got to hear them talk about timing issues, footwork, posture, all of these components that they use to build their martial arts ability. Now, because they were outstanding athletes, all of them, and of course, all Marines in, you know, tip-top shape, they were able to perform at a level that some people could only aspire to be like. Guys like myself, where I would look at them and say, boy, I can only aspire to be like them. You know, because what they have, I wish I could learn what these men have forgotten already. And, you know, at the time they were probably in their, you know, 40s, maybe. Some of them maybe late 30s, some of them maybe late 40s. But then as they grew in their martial arts ability, as they got older, it was amazing to see how they grew, because I got to see them when they were young, and I got to see them as they started to age. Now, Sensei Namira died all too young in 1988 at the age of 49. But I do remember him distinctly telling me certain things, and things that I never forgot, things that ring clear, you know, when I'm on the deck. But Sensei always, you know, tried to give instruction based on what your ability was or is, and then push that envelope. Certain people could do certain things better than others, but some of the simpler things that, you know, very simple to use, when he saw that you were getting better and better at those techniques, he would then, you know, push you. He would make you do things in such a way to increase your timing, to increase your footwork, to increase your posture. Always trying to strive to make a better student out of you. Based on your ability and your commitment, only inspired Sensei to work with you even harder on certain issues. And, you know, these things we try as best as we can as instructors to emulate our seniors and our mentors and our instructors. But it's very difficult, only because, again, they came from a time where, you know, athletic ability and martial arts ability, when you combine those two together, you get this wonderful mix out of it. Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, I am an athlete. I played sports in high school. I played sports, you know, all through my life. I continue to still play certain sports, even at the age of 53, only because I want to stay active. I want my legs to stay strong. But I'll still never be what these men were. Some of these men, when you look at their ability, again, you can only aspire to be like them because they just had this wonderful mix of athleticism. And then when you gave them the Ishinru system, It was like magic. It was like being, the best chef on the earth and making the best meal ever, based on what you like. So, you know, obviously they took some key components out of Vishnu, mastered them as best as they could, and then executed those techniques in such a way that it was almost like magic. Now, again, Sensei Namira, I know that my sensei always admired his martial arts ability and his athleticism. So he always talked about Sensei Namira in our dojo. He always used him as a point of reference, just as he did with Sensei Nagel. Between those two men, being exposed to those two men working out and watching them fight one another, was such a thrill for Sensei, because imagine what you would learn just by sitting on the deck and watching these two men go at it. Watching their timing, watching the way they step around, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm very proud to be, you know, a part of that in a way that benefits my my being an instructor, my being a karateka, my being a practitioner of the Ishinru system. Over the years, I've noticed certain things about the Ishinru system that are, again, like magic. Things that work so with such little effort. Once you become proficient at certain things in Ishinru, you will learn, and it will prove to you that economy of movement. This is one of the things I was talking to Sensei Sloan about today on the phone. Economy of movement, and you know, becoming familiar with your body mechanics, and using those two components along with the Ishinru system. Once you blend them all together, you come out with this wonderful ability to be able to spot danger right away, learn how to use the system in a way that, especially with today's laws, you're not allowed to do what the system was designed to do, because you will go to jail. So by using the system and operating under the law, you find out that you can do certain things that will stop aggression, and you can use a whole host of control techniques to not get yourself in trouble with the law. So, you know, this is the difference between the time when Rick Namira, Sensei, and all of those men that come from that time. This is how the system has now evolved. This is the difference. Those fellas, when they fought in the dojo, Sensei said it was very easy for the referee. One guy was down and could not continue, and one guy was standing. So obviously, the person who was standing won the fight. Well, in today's world, we're not allowed to do that anymore. We will get in trouble for that. We will get sued. So how do you find the balance? How do you go about teaching students in a way that they won't come back to sue you? So I think we'll pick that up on tomorrow's show. We only have about a... And I would like to get these two ads in. So I will conclude the program with these ads from Michael Matsuda at the Martial Arts Museum. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, tonight. We'll see you tomorrow, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Presented by the Martial Arts History Museum is our first celebrity charity seminar series. On February 24th, you will have the opportunity to work out with such great superstars as Bill Ryusaki, Art Camacho, Leo Fong, Adam James, and Michael Matsuda, all in the same day. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com. Experience the history, beauty, culture, and tradition of the martial arts at the world's first Martial Arts History Museum. Located in the city of Burbank, California, visitors will enjoy learning how Asian history became part of American history. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.